The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you this evening for your mercy that always speaks. And this evening we receive the word upon good ground in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because we know your word will change us mightily. And from this service, we are praying and receiving that the door of utterance is open unto us from now and throughout this year. In the name of Jesus, change us by your word, and we will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a loud amen? Hallelujah. You might be seated. Welcome to the first service of the year. Are you excited to be here? And I tell you what, you started the year well. Amen. I said amen. You know, some persons, you are expecting that we'll be starting maybe midweek service next week, but we're starting today. And all of that is very significant, and you should take note of it. It's always good to start the year early. It's always good to start the year early as a believer, ministry, life, business starts early. Okay, the year has started. I always jokingly say some will not start their year till February. But it's good to start very early. Amen. And so with this service now, every church operation is open. Say amen. Every is open. You know, and it's one thing, if you pay attention to many solid ministries, they start the year very early. So do not wait until 10th. Hallelujah. The year has started. This is a good way to start. Amen. So I'll be teaching, you know, I'll start today. I'll start sharing a few things that the Lord has been putting strongly in my heart for quite some time now. Okay? Towards the end of last year. It's a very simple teaching, but it's been coming again and again. At first, I thought the Lord wanted me to share that, to teach along those lines at immersion. But then, no. You know, I found out, no, it shouldn't be. So, this is the time to talk about it. I've been teaching on it a lot. But the Lord is saying I should bring this teaching again for, again, the purpose of emphasis. Amen. So, I'm teaching on how to respond to God's word. Shout amen. Amen. How to respond. Maybe this is what we call it for now. As we progress, we might come across another topic for it. But for now, how to respond to the word of God. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. We read about the parable of the sower. The Bible tells us, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and they had no, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who had ears, let him hear. Okay, you had ears to hear, let him hear. So we're reading God's word about the parable of the sower. And if you pay attention to this parable, you will notice that it was the same seed that was sown. Okay, it was the same seed that was sown. The only difference were the soils. So there was a soil, where there were thorns, there was the soil where there were stones and all of that. And because of the condition of the soils, in verse 8, we learn that the fruit, even though it was the same fruit, did not bear the same result. There were 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So it tells you that the word of God coming to all of us will not have the same effect on all of us. Don't forget that. The word of God can come to all of us, but it will not have the same effect. Now, that word coming to all of us carries the same potency, but it will not have the same effect. And that's why it's good I'm starting the year this way, to teach you how to respond to the word of God. Because even though 30 people can hear the same thing, it will work differently in 30 of them. It will work differently in 30 of them. And so we see the same seed. We see four different kind of soils. We see three different kind of results. We see 30-fold. In fact, before we get to 30-fold, we see that in the first soil, you know, the best of the air came and took everything. Then we had the stony place. We had the thorns. Even on the good soil, the seeds did not have the same results. Even on the good soil. I mean, the good ground. There was 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Even on the good ground. And that already begins to show that even though some people's hearts might be in the right place, might be good, their response and reaction to God's word can still affect the result it will produce in their life. And that's why I'm doing this teaching today. And throughout this month, we break it with immersion. After immersion, we continue with it. Are you following me? Because it's so important. Because you got to ask yourself, why is the word of God not working in my life? Why is it not working? Why will three people sit down under the same teaching and there is a teaching on divine healing and two we get healed, one we go home and is not healed? Why? Why will three people sit down and we are teaching on faith for prosperity and after 6 months, one is testifying, one has the result, the other two is like they never came to the meeting at all? And if you are not well taught, you will think erroneously that it is God that decides these things. I agree with what I'm saying. You will think so. It is your response to the word of God, your reaction to the word of God, that will determine its result in your life. So it's not a question of whether the seed is potent or not. That is the issue of the soil. There is also the issue of the weather condition. I'm talking agriculture now. There is the issue of soil, weather condition. There is the issue, when I mean soil, I mean you can plant one seed. For instance, if you plant watermelon here in the southeast, except you take some other measures, it's not going to grow. Plant it somewhere around the north. I think it does well around the north. Put it around the north, it's going to grow. Soil. Same seed. Right? There's also the issue, apart from soil, there's also the issue of how you take care of the seed after it's planted. We'll get to all of that. Because you can plant the same, we can plant maize. 3 weeks later or so, I'm there to weed my farm. You are not weeding your own farm. They won't have the same result. Is someone following me at all? We can plant yam. That the time it gets to, I have to stake the yam. If I do mine, you don't do yours, different results. So my point is, we can plant the same seed and have different results. So your response to the word, when I'm talking about response, I'm talking about both your response, this is very important, both your response when the word is being given, and your response after it has been given. Because many people don't know how to respond when the word of God is coming to them. Now, some others know that part. But they don't know how to respond after the word has come to them. Because when the word is coming to you, if you are responding well, we could say your soil is good. It's a good ground. But then, good ground is not enough. I can plant maize in a good ground. If I don't come to water it,
If I don't come to weed it, I get to the point. So I'm talking about both your response to the word when it is coming and your response to the word after it has come. That's what will determine the kind of fruit it will yield in your life. So there is 100-fold, there is 60-fold, there is 30-fold. Can I say there is no fold? There are people that have nothing. They come to church every day, and yet the result of the word of God is not showing in their life. And that will not be me in this year. The word of God is working in my life. It's working in my life. I can't be part of a meeting. And after everything that they are asking, did he even come? That's what is working. That's why it's important, again I said, we're looking at both how to respond when the word is being given and how to respond even afterwards. So these two are important. In this teaching, I'll be going between these two. Because there's a way to respond when God's word is coming. If you don't get that one right, it may be difficult to get the other part right. But there are people that don't know how to respond. There are people that, as I'm teaching, or maybe prophetic words are coming, they are just so dull and so cold, and then when they get home, they want to begin to act well. You didn't even receive it. It's what you receive that you can act with. I get what I'm saying. It's what you've received that you can work with. So there's a way to respond. When I'm talking about responding to the role of God, I'm talking about many things. First, I'm talking about how to respond to the teaching of the word. That's one area. We'll touch it. How to respond to the teaching of the word. Like now I'm preaching. How do you respond? How should you respond? We're also talking about how to respond to instructions and corrections from the word of God. When I instruct you, when you read your Bible, and you come across a verse that instructs you, that challenges you, that corrects you, what is the right way to respond? When I'm teaching and there is a correction, maybe a correction on your dressing or your speech pattern, how should you respond? There's also how to respond to prophecies. Because prophecies are also the word of God. Just that the prophecies are the inspired word. But it's still the word of God. So a pastor is preaching and suddenly begins to speak prophetically. Right? And he's giving a prophetic word. Say, this year this is going to happen. How should you respond? How should you respond when it is coming? How should you respond after it has come? Is not following me at all? So it's still under responding to God's word. We also look at how to respond to impartations. Right? Impartations are also God's word. Because actually, impartations is beyond laying on of hands. When hands are laid on people, what actually works the wonder is not just the hand, it is the word spoken. So if you read 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, okay, Paul writes to Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So it is prophecy that now accompanies laying on of hands. So how do you respond to that? When hands are laid on you and words are spoken, what should you do? What should you do when it is happening? What should you do afterwards? Very important teaching. Basic Christian teaching. Basic Christian conduct. And many people lack this. Many people lack how to respond when God's word is coming. When God's word has come. Are you following me? And I want to say, today I'm just laying the foundation for all of this. I want to say that if you learn how to respond to God's word, you know, there are a few things that it will do to you. If you respond to God's word properly. Because whenever you hear God's word, it has the power to change your life totally. If you can respond well to it. I'll give an example. God's word has the power to show you who you are, thereby changing your perception of yourself. If you respond to God's word, it can change how you see yourself entirely. In James chapter 1 and verse 22. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Do you have it? Do you have James 1:22 in your Bible? Hallelujah. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So he likens the word of God to a glass. Actually, the real thing is a mirror. He likens the word of God to a mirror. So the word of God is that thing that has the capacity to show you who you are. And it shows you who you are so that you can begin to think like who you are. So if someone has properly responded to the word of God, eventually he's supposed to begin to see himself differently. It's amazing that there are people that have been in church for long, yet when you hear them talk about themselves, you wonder whether they've been listening to God's word. The reason is simple. God's word has not changed how they think because they've not responded well to it. He said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man behold his natural face in a glass. In verse 24, he said, for he beholdeth and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Then in verse 25, he said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not forgetful hearer. So he's saying, God's word can change you. It can change how you see yourself. Because by looking at God's word, you are seeing yourself. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, it says, as we behold his face, we are transformed into the same image. That's 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. As we with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. And so God's word has the power to change how you see yourself. So show me someone that has low self-esteem. All I have to do is to expose him to God's word. If he responds well to it, it will change that his esteem issue. It will fix it. The word of God is powerful. Are you following me? Show me someone that believes, hey, I'm not intelligent, I can't pass an exam, or my life is rich. All of those things. Just expose him to God's word. If he responds well to it, he can change how he sees himself. Now, the question now is, are there not people that have been in church for the past 10 years yet that is struggling with esteem issues? There are. If God's word has this power, why is he not changing them? They've not responded well to it. Is someone following me this evening? For me, God's word changed and helped my esteem. And there are many people in the world like that. It will surprise you to know that there are great men of God. People like Joseph Prince will tell you, when Joseph Prince was in school, primary school, he couldn't talk in class. He stammers. He gets up to talk and the whole class begins to laugh. He had such a terrible esteem growing up that you see the man stand before thousands of people talking today. You are wondering, where is that boldness coming from? It's the word of God. Guess what? It is the same word that you've been listening to. The same word that every other person has been hearing. The only difference is there is a way a man will respond. It will change his life. Affect his thought pattern. Affect his esteem. Affect his perception of himself. It will show you who you are. Hallelujah. Such that if you are seeing yourself like a sinner or like God's enemy, it will show you how that you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. It will show you how that you are loved of God. And not just that you will hear them and rejoice. You will hear it. You will know it. It will form your perception of yourself. To change everything. God's word has that power. Are you still here? God's word has that power. Again, I can show you. God's word has the power to keep you from sin if you respond well to it. Because it all comes down to if you respond well to it. Amen. I said amen. It has the power to keep you from sin if you respond well to hearing it and then respond well to it even after hearing it. In Psalm 119 and verse 133, I wait for you to get it in your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 133. I'll just wait for you. Glory to God. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, wait. Okay, I still have some wait. I'm going to wait. Do you have it now? He says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. So when your steps are ordered according to the word of God, iniquity can no longer control you. So God's word has that power to keep you out of the mouth of iniquity. So I have this addiction thing. I smoke too much. I lie too much. David is saying, you allow God's word to take over. Sin cannot take over you again. You now ask yourself, how come there are many church people who are still struggling with sin? How to respond to God's word is the answer. It is their response to the word of God, both while it is being taught and what they do with it when they get home. I follow what I'm saying? Because if you don't handle it well, it has all these powers, but it will still not work in your life. It can keep you from sin. Any kind of sin. You know, in that Psalm 119, if you go all the way to verse 1, as you back up to verse 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He said, people that you know, seek him with their hearts, who keep his testimonies. You see, if you read the book of Psalm 119, when you see things like the law of the Lord, you see things like his testimonies, all of those that are referring to the word of God. So verse 1 is saying, people that are undefiled are the people who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2 is saying, people that keep his testimonies and seek him with all their hearts, they are blessed. In verse 3, he said, they do no iniquity. So when you learn to, you know, keep his testimonies, that's respond well to his word. So you will do no iniquity. So can one ever come to a point where sin starts being an issue? Yes. What has the past to that? The word of God. How come it has not done that to many people? Their response to it. How they respond to it? You know, I'm just trying to show you. So you can have a gun, right, that can kill people. But if you don't know how to use it, you will still be harassed. Because it's about how you engage it. Are you following me? So God's word has the power to keep you from sin. From sin. In verse 9 of that Psalm 119, it says, wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way. This is very powerful. By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. So you want to have a very clean way, a very clean lifestyle in 2025. By taking it to his word. So, how come people have not been able to put their lives in order? They've not responded well to God's word. They've not responded well to correction. They've not responded well to instructions coming from God's word. And so, it tells you, if I look at what I'm trying to say, someone can know the word and not be changed by the word. That's what I'm saying. Because it is not just knowing it that will change. It's part of the story. But then it is not how you respond to it that will change you. It's what you do with what you know that will change you. Someone can have a gun and will still be harassed. Someone can have foodstuffs in his kitchen and still be hungry because either he doesn't know how to cook or he has chosen not to cook. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not just about saying, oh, well, I can quote the Bible. Quoting the Bible is a good thing, is one way to respond to God's word, but it will not translate to doing it. So there is a proper way to respond when the word of God is coming, to respond when you return home. That's a proper way. Look at that. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, by taking it there to according to thy word. He said, with my whole heart, verse 10, have I sought the Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So what kept David from sin? God's word. What can keep you from sin? God's word. How come you've been hearing it, it's not doing anything to you? Because it's about how you respond to it. What I'm showing you is the reason why someone can go from a retreat like a mansion and begins to testify, all my addictions broke loose after that meeting. Another person comes to the meeting, while in the meeting, he's practicing his addiction in the meeting. Now, the same word that changed one could not have any effect on the other person. This is one of the things that you must decide to do this year. Maybe I'm running out of myself, but it's good to mention it. Is that you must be very, very receptive to God's word. The word I'm looking for, be very penetrable, very, very malleable. Be someone that God's word can break. God's word can get into. There are people that no matter how you preach, God's word cannot move them. Ah, if you like me shouting, you are now right, it cannot move them. Give any correction, it doesn't enter. You see such people? They will sit and wonder water went, and soap will enter their eyes. You know, you say you cannot be in water, soap will enter their eyes. They will be inside water, soap will enter their eyes. Some people, no matter how you preach new creation realities, it doesn't move them. They just stand like 6 o'clock. They don't move. They are not receptive. They are not malleable. God's word cannot bend them. God's word cannot crush them. God's word cannot evoke any emotion in their heart. It can't make them laugh. It can't make them cry. It can't make them think. It can't do anything to them. No matter what you say. You see those people? That's the first thing about that. That's the people the Bible said, it is the seed that fell by the wayside. It doesn't affect them in any way. So, you see the man that knows how to respond to God's word, he can keep it from sin. You see that person, he will come to that program after everything, if like this from now to tomorrow, he will go back. The sin he left at home is going back to it. Because he didn't even receive the word in the first place. So, God's word can keep you from sin. So, David said, that what have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee? That I may not sin against thee. So I'm trying to show God's word can do all of this. Again, I want to say God's word can bring direction. God's word can bring direction. Hallelujah. You know, in Psalm 119, that whole psalm is actually dedicated to God's word. So I cannot teach on the word of God without referring to this psalm a lot. In Psalm 119 and verse 98, you know, it says, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So you see, how did David become wise to know how to handle his enemies? You know, David fought a lot of battles. Not only battles against nations, even battles against his own household. At the time, his household, you know, people pray against household enemies. David had some household enemies. Absalom was one. All of them lived with him. How come he was able to win? He said, thy word, thy commandment made me wiser. My enemies. So actually, someone can take God's word and become very wise and very smart. Actually, you know, God's word makes you wise unto salvation. But you know, I've also heard people say to talk about billionaires, talk about how that they open to God's word and the instructions in God's word made them wise, even in their business. Yeah, I've seen it. Now, it's not the same word all of us are hearing. How come we are all still foolish? How you respond? Are you following me? So he can give you direction on how to do life, how to win through certain battles. Not just the word of God you read, even the prophecies that could come. Prophecies can give you direction to do life. The word of God can drop in your spirit man and give you direction to do life if only you know how to respond to it when it comes. And because sometimes, you know, I'm running out of myself, but it's good I say some of these things. So when we get there, we'll emphasize them more. One of the ways to respond to God's word, for instance, is promptness. 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 And that's what many people lack. Being prompt. God's word says move. You don't negotiate. Because some instructions of God are time bound. I get that point. For instance, you can be praying now, and the Lord says, you just go and talk to that brother. Or go and do this. If you have been taught how to respond to God's word, you go immediately. Be very prompt with God's instructions. Because many people have missed out on basic. For instance, you know, God can tell you very dramatic thing. Stand up now, get to that junction. And then you say, let me bath. Let me eat. Let me brush. Do you know sometimes he's saying all of that because I'm talking about direction. Maybe there is someone there that is almost about to die that he wants you to meet at that moment. That if you spend the next 5 seconds, person will be out of that environment. Or maybe there is someone, you see, that is that needs to help you with a prayer you've been praying for long. So God's word will bring direction. But he must be very prompt. That's one way to respond to it. I agree what I'm saying. One way to respond to it. So he said, it has made me wiser than my enemies. Verse 24 of that same psalm. Verse 24 of Psalm 119. Hallelujah. He said, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. So God's word is a counselor. Come on. It can counsel you in the journey of life. It can counsel you. It can counsel you on how to do relationship. It can counsel you on how to do business. It can counsel you on how to do life. It can counsel you. But then, we're talking about knowing how to respond to it. Imagine you are someone that is very flexible to God's word. There are people that can be quarreling with their wife. And then, they pick their Bible to read. And guess where they are reading? Ephesians 4 verse 32. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Nah, don't tell me that one. God already is trying to tell you, go fix this issue with your wife. But because you are not very flexible and malleable to God, for all of that, it's a beg. Next verse. Guess what the next verse is? Huh? Chapter 5, verse 1. Be followers of me as dear children of God. He said, okay, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Verse 2. And walk in love. Even as God. I'm not called out for that. Not vulnerable to God's word. So I just keep reading. Then by the time you get to verse 25, see, husbands, love your wife. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has loved. Now, this is God directing your path. You say, Lord, I'm going to chapter 6. Because nobody will tell me what I go do. You can't have that kind of attitude towards God's word. Can't. You can't. You're not going to make progress. So God's word is a counselor. He can counsel you when there is chaos. He can counsel you in life. I'm talking about God's word, the teaching of God's word, the instructions of God, and even the prophecies that God brings can counsel you. You can have inspired words in your spirit that will counsel you out of trouble. Counsel you out of trouble. Which is why it's important again that in this time and this season, we are teaching on having the right response to God's word. Again, I will tell you, God's word, if you respond to it well, can minister strength to you in difficult times. What I'm trying to show you so far is that almost everything, no, scratch that, everything you need in life is found in God's word. Now, whichever one you are not having, you're not just responding well to the word of God yet. That's the problem. Everything you need. You know, in Psalm 119 and verse 49, it says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. God's word can quicken you in affliction. If you're someone that doesn't have to respond to God's word, it can quicken you in affliction. It can quicken you when you are down. It can literally charge you up and steer you up. I get to the point. It can. Because there will be difficult moments, I always say. And I always like to clarify, that's not because God himself will bring it. That is because we live in a fallen world. Are you following me? We live in a fallen world. Again, that's because we in ourselves are not perfect. We can make wrong choices. That's also because there are bad people on earth who can make their wrong choices and it will affect us. I hope you know. Some people are and that's what I'm praying for you to say. You'll not be a victim of that. Some people are victim. Bad things happen to them just because another person made the wrong choice. A driver refused to check his brake pad that's been giving him sign. He refused to check it, and then eventually on the highway, the brake fails. And so, an innocent person just walking along the road gets hit by the car. Now, that's not because the person is a bad person. It's because another person was stupid enough not to. So, there are tough times because people are just people. You can have tough times, you know, because of any reason. But then, if you know how to deal and handle the word of God, even in that your mess, come on, the word of God can get right there and get you out of it. It's a source of strength. It's a source of strength in difficult moments. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word had quickened me. God's word can quicken you, guy. Can quicken you totally. It has. That sometimes things are bad and you're just lying down thinking of how everything, God's word should be enough to quicken you if you have the right response to it. So the problem most times is that we do not respond well. Imagine if you are someone that has trained your heart to know how to, for instance, we get all of that in these studies. For instance, the Bible teaches that we should rejoice at the word of God. It's that I rejoice at thy word as one that has found grace power. But then when we're preaching in church here and we say righteous in Christ, others are rejoicing, you're just sitting, you're not rejoicing, you're just watching them. You're training your heart not to know how to respond to God's word. Now, see the issue. When there is now chaos in your life and God's word comes to you, you will not know what to do in that season. Do you know, if you're someone that has learned how to respond to God's word, you're just lying down on your bed, thinking money gone, everything is gone, and you just hear that tiny voice in your spirit saying, I'll fix everything. If you've been taught well in church, you should stand up and start running. Glory! I'll fix everything. But someone is still going to be lying down on that bed saying, why is my life like this? He just missed an opportunity to change his life because he has not learned how to respond to God's word. And it starts from church. It starts from church. Is there rejoice? That's where you know that you're 6 o'clock. Stand straight. Unbending, unflinching. Your face set like a flint. Nothing moves you. So I'm not caught up for all this gibberish. Better be caught up for gibberish. Because sometimes it is that response that you will need. I get the point. That's what you need. Learn how to respond. Be someone that God's word can move. Because when you are in a difficult moment, it can quicken you. It can quicken you. It can quicken you. It can quicken you. It's one of the major sources of strength if you're going through any tough time. In fact, it is the major source of strength if you're going through any tough time. If you're someone whose heart is receptive to God's word, for instance, and then you are at the verge of killing yourself, your heart should be so receptive that once you hear a word from God, it should be enough to turn you around and you start going home. Be that person that does not need 50 words from God to change your life. Be that person that one word from God is enough to change your direction. I know what I'm talking about. Be that person that one instruction is enough to redirect the course of your life. One instruction. It can be a source of strength. I'll still come to that, you know, because instructions are casual. They can change your life. It can change your life. It can be casual. It can change your life. Even from your pastor. You know, I saw pastor posting on his status. Say one of his best decisions last year was choosing to stay back in Enugu. Some of you saw that. Did you see it on his status? Uh-huh. But then that was last year. He came. He told me he had planned to go to Nsukka. Amen? But it wasn't just a plan. He has told all his family members that he's coming to Nsukka to reside in Nsukka. He has bought properties, Abby, and kept them in Osaka. Seats, everything. The only thing left was to pay for a house. And he came, I said, well, you go to Osaka, but for now, stay in Enugu for now. Say amen. Now, I'm talking about how that instructions can change you. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that became the best year. You know, the truth of the matter was, he was not actually meant to go to Osaka. I knew. I didn't tell him. Do you understand? Uh-huh. I wanted him to find it himself. I said, stay for now. Just be coming around. And so along the line, I said, hey, that's your soccer move. When are you going? I said, Dad, I was actually coming to come and meet you. I'm not going again. And there are many things like that. If he's also one that is receptive to instructions like that, we have finished preparing on where I'm going to go to. You're telling me? Are you my God? You're not my God. Some people are your God, though. Because there are things that God uses. Instructions are very powerful. Very powerful. And if you know me very well, I'm not someone that I will rarely tell you things to do directly. Rarely. I'll just ask you to go and pray. So if I eventually ever tell you exactly the exact thing to do, you better take it seriously. Say amen. There are some of you have never told you what to do. Once you just come and say, just go and pray. You'll find it. And that's how a pastor should pastor. But if I now come there and say, you know, just stay. There are people that I don't know, I've left, but I'm talking about strength. I'm coming back to it. I just feel a pull in this direction. There are people I know that I tell some of my sons sometimes, I see where some people would have been just if they had obeyed one simple instruction. I see it literally. Are you following me? And I see it and I know that this one, and sometimes there are simple instructions. Sometimes there are simple instructions. Train your heart. And that's why, you see, in the course of this series, I'm going to share a lot of things. That's why there are many things we do in church here. And we do them to train our hearts for the real battle. For instance, if somebody comes up, pastor says, at this point as I'm teaching, everybody raise your hands. You say, you're not going to raise your hands. Everybody kneel down. Now, what I'm trying to show you, by obeying those things, raise your hand, kneel down, jump, say to your neighbor, smile to your neighbor, you are teaching your heart to respond to instructions when they come. And eventually your heart will learn it, that whenever instructions come, without forcing it, it just flows. Are you what I'm talking about? Say to your neighbor, find 3 people, find 4 people, smile at them, because I found out that with God, no moment is wasted in his presence. No moment is wasted. Find 5 people, say to them, laugh at them, give them high five, say something nice to them. All of those things are training your heart to be receptive to God's word. Because if you can easily obey those things, tomorrow when God gives an instruction through your pastor, through your spirit man, or as you read your Bible, it's easy to obey. And in those instructions, they can quicken you. Even when we are in affliction. They can just come. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we saw that scripture last week Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. That was last year. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read about David when he got home and found out that all his, you know, family has been captured. And, you know, Bible tells us, some Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now the question, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? You encourage yourself, that is finding strength in the word of God. He brought to memory what God has said to him. He brought memory the instruction that God has given him, and that became a source of his encouragement. So if you respond well to God's word, it can encourage you in difficult moments. It can become a source of strength. It will be a source of strength in difficult moments. It will always be. Are you following me? It's a word in 19 and verse 107. He said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Oh, God's word can quicken you. Quicken me according to thy word. Let your word steer me up. Be that person that God's word can steer up. Be someone that God's word, and I tell you, that is who I am. If I'm, no matter how tired I am and I'm sitting in a meeting, God's word has the power to steer me up. And that's why even if I'm in affliction, if I'm in tough times, all I'm listening for from God is a word from him. You know, I was saying it on that first night. Some of you will not understand. Maybe I'll be free. I'll have the liberty from God to tell some of these stories in better details a couple of years from now. But last year was really Last 2 years coming into last year was a very challenging time for this church. And for me, a lot of things here and there. Right? And with a lot of threats, both spiritually and physically. Some I can tell, some I will not tell you. In those moments, I will just pray. Sometimes God will just say, just focus, I'm going to fix it. And that will be it. That is what it means to encourage yourself in the Lord. God's word is enough to give you strength in such moments. Just focus, I'll fix it. That will be it. I'll just stay focused. So that I'll not even pray about it. I'll not even mention it. I'll just keep going. I get to the point. And I told the guys last year, there was a day, you know, I was with my wife. I said, as I'm talking to you now, we're not married then. It's just in courtship. And as I'm talking to you now, I just had a vision. I saw a meeting. People were sitting around the table, and I saw what they were discussing in that meeting. And I saw the people in the meeting. Right? And I just shared this. I said, look at that. He said, so what do we do? I said, we'll just pray about it. I just prayed. I just got a word from the Lord. Everything is going to be fine. And that was it. I didn't talk about it again. And after that day, we saw the result of that meeting begin to play out. But then there is such a thing as the Lord turning the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Because we had a word from the Lord. Let God's word quicken you when you are in tough times. When your health is bad and they've given you a bad medical report. Let that, I am the Lord that healeth you, be enough. A woman of God said, the son was sick. Sick, you know, the child has been falling sick. They will bring the child back and then treat the child will fall sick again. So one of those days, they brought that child back. Really, the child landed in her arms again. She just held the child. She was praying the Holy Ghost 1 hour, 2 hours. Then the husband saw and joined. And they prayed and prayed. After like 2 hours or so, he said, the scripture that came to her was, surely as one of grief and infirmity. He said, but the word the Lord highlighted to her heart was, surely. So she just got up and said, surely. Now, that's just one word. Somebody say, surely.
Surely.
He just dropped that child and looked at her and said, surely. He has born and grief. That was the end of that sickness. The end. Now, be someone that one word from God can quicken you like that. And that's where strength comes from. No matter the affliction. But the problem is that sometimes you're going through tough times, God has sent his word. He has given his word. But that word did not do anything to you. Because you don't even know how to respond to it. You don't know how to receive it. You don't know how to act when it comes. You don't know how to act after it comes. This year has started. We gave prophetic words. Throughout this January, we'll be hearing different things. God will be speaking. God will be speaking both in your personal prayer life. And we are fasting this prayer. Did you fast today? And as you're fasting, one of the things you open your heart to are instructions. Open your heart to promises. That's a way to respond to God's promises. But many people don't know. I get to the point. You know, one of the ways, I already showed you something, but we'll get into all of that. One of the ways, for instance, God is putting this in my heart now to talk about it. One of the ways, for instance, to respond to God's word, God's promises and all of that, is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, neglect not. That's just one way. Because some people, after, oh, this is your year, that's why by June now, ask people, this is our year of what? Supernatural, leaps, supernatural increase. He has forgotten. Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you that came by prophecy. In other words, to neglect it not means keep it in your heart. There are many people that the promises God has made them. In October, with the coming of a new year, they forgot everything God said in October. You think God counts the way you count? God promised the coming of Jesus. It took over 2,000 years for it to happen. You know why it happened? Some people dared to write it and to not forget about it. I kept speaking about it. We're going to look at all of this in this series. A man like Simeon and Anna, they waited and they were praying every day until they would see the face of the Messiah. And oh God, they saw it. Because there are people that know how to respond. Some of you, promises you forget. After why do we ask you to take notes in church? So that you will not forget the things you are saying. Because not forgetting is one of the ways to respond to God's word. And that's why you don't take notes and keep the notes in church. You take notes and go back and look at it and read it. What they are doing is they are bringing it to memory. That's why God's word doesn't work. Not just, sometimes when we are teaching, the thing is burning so strong in your heart that you are so sure that when you leave here, you are going to do this. 3 days after, you don't even care again. Do you know why? You've forgotten everything. But if you took a proper note, when you get home, you are looking at it. 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 You know, I don't know what... Let me say this to you. You must... This part of not forgetting or neglecting God's word is very important. Especially the prophecies God has given you. You know one reason why many people are ungrateful is because they forget God's promises. How many of you have ever gone to a book where you wrote down God's promises to you 3 years ago? And you saw that you've forgotten some things you wrote there, but all of them eventually happened. Has that ever happened to you? You say, this happened. So God told me this. Now, if you didn't take note of those prophecies, you would have just seen them as coincidences. And to make you an ungrateful person. I get to the point. The book where God spoke to me and I wrote down things God told me about the woman I was going to marry, that book, I wrote it in 2016. Yes. 2:16. I went to that book recently. Oh God. For real. Oh God, for real. Because God knows your future better than you know your past. He does. I mean, down to the ministry, the person we have, down to his calling that will be upon that person, is in that book. Down to completion. I kid you not. Down to, I'm not joking. Down to the fact that he even said, you'll be singing. 2016. I forgot I wrote that one that was just, do you flip through your notes sometimes? Just flipping through that old note. I say, wow. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that it's because I took note of it. Even though I thought everything is a coincidence. Oh, I don't even know how it happened. God speaks and his word comes to pass. You must know how to receive God's word upon good ground. How to receive it and what to do with it after it. It can be a source of strength where you need it. Train your heart to be receptive to the word of God. It is a source of strength in trying times. So that's Psalm 119. He said, Psalm 119 and verse 107. He said, quicken me, O Lord. Give me like an NLT of that verse. He said, quicken me. Quicken me. He said, I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Restore my life. So God's word, God's promises can actually restore life to a dead thing. But then, it is to know how to respond to it. It is to know what to do with it. Are you following me? It's to know how to do. You know, if you go to all these herbal, you know, people that deal with herbs, they can give you a particular herb and tell you that this herb, I'm talking about native doctors, so I'm talking about these regular herbs, like what are these good herbs? Not for eating, medicinal herbs. Moringa, Abby? Aloe vera. Now, those things, you know, aloe vera, for instance, is one thing that can do many things. But then, they will not have to tell you how to prepare it. If you want to use it for this, see how to prepare it. If you want to use it for that, see how to prepare it. You want it to cure, it has a stomach problem, Abby? See how to do it. It can even work on your face. They use it for skin, see how to prepare it. The same aloe vera, that's God's word for you. If you know how to handle it, it can change anything in your life. But it's about knowing how to handle it. Knowing what to do with it when you get it. Are you following me? It can be a source of strength. It can minister strength to you. It can minister strength to you. Again, I will say, God's word, when you know how to respond to it, it can aid and make easy your spiritual flow. Flowing in spiritual things, tongues, interpretation, healing, and all of that. If you know how to respond to God's word. All that story you hear about Ajay Benson in the Hosa, how that, you know, the pastor, listen, you know that story, I'll just tell it again. The pastor was preaching in church, and the pastor preached from a chapter where the Bible said that Jesus went and he went to Jairus' house and then raised the daughter from the dead. And the pastor made just one statement. He said, you all can do that. You all can raise the dead. Now, everyone has heard it. I'm talking about responding to God's word. It can make your spiritual flow easy if you know how to handle it. Everyone has heard it. But Bessie the Hosa heard something different. Same thing they heard, but he responded differently. So he went to the pastor. I said, pastor, you said we all can raise the dead. Pastor said, yes. Pastor, have you raised the dead? Pastor said, no. He said, but can I raise the dead? Pastor said, yes. He said, okay. Left that place, carried his bicycle, and he moved from house to house. He was asking one question. Is anybody dead here? What was he practicing? He was acting on the word. That same word they heard in church that day had the power to turn all of them to dead raisers. It's not what I'm talking about. But one person eventually became a dead raiser that raised over 27 people from the dead. He went from place to place. Is anybody dead here? Is anybody dead here? Just kept going. And then got to a place. They said, yes, a woman just died. A lady, a young girl. And he rushed into that place. And you know, got there. I was like, I want to pray. Of course, they always know him as pastor in the environment. So they gave him the chance. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the girl didn't come back to life. And so he remembered what the pastor preached. He went for his Bible, opened it again. And the Bible said, and Jesus drove out everybody in the room and brought in the father and the mother. He said, okay, everybody out. At that point, he didn't even know why Jesus did that. I can explain to you in principle why Jesus did what he did. Because there was so much unbelief in the environment. Do you understand? But then, he didn't have all those answers. But he was just responding to what he saw in God's word. Are you what I'm talking about? He said, everybody, get out, get out, get out. Everybody left, both the father and the mother. There was only one person that didn't get out totally. She went out, but she stood by the door and was peeping inside. That's Margaret Idahusa, who eventually became his wife later. Yeah, God orchestrates these things. Yeah. Just that leader was peeping inside. I just prayed. And the child came back to life. Same word. Had it could make all of them dead raisers. One person responded well. The others just saw it as pastor has just given another powerful oratorial speech. That's a wonderful one. I'm charged up. If you're charged up, go do something about it. I'm charged. I'm telling you, this is the same reason. We can finish a teaching on Caruso. Go and preach the gospel. I was like, yeah, yeah. Choir even did a song with it. You know, we all sing after the message. We sing, I'm ready to go. Yeah, with faith in my heart now. At that point, if you raise your hand and you're singing, you're shouting, you're responding well to the word at that point. Now, after the meeting, one person will go from street to street. That's why I'm saying that the way to respond to impartations. Maybe after Caruso, I say, in the name of Jesus, from now, your tongue is sharp. As you speak, men will hear you. Amen! You even wrote it to your notes. One person leaves that meeting, begins to go from house to house preaching the gospel. You go home. You go home. How was the service? Man, you even go to your status and write, I am a Caruso. And then you go nowhere. Now, I'm just trying to show you, the same word will make someone at the end of the year testify, I won 150 souls this year. The same service you sat in. Now, it's not about the word being powerful. It's about how you responded to it. Are you getting the point? It can aid your spiritual flow. Colossians 3:16 tells us, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. So how can I flow in psalms? How do I get spiritual songs? The word of God can make your every spiritual flow very easy. If you know how to respond to it. If you know how to respond to it. I can tell you how I began to pray for the sick. I've been praying for the sick, going to the hospital and all of that. Even that going to the hospital was a response to an instruction that God gave me. I went to Reverend Dr. Mark Wise Crusade after he finished healing the sick. And the Lord said to me, and I was shouting literally out of my voice, I can do this. I will hear this. I was shouting literally. Other people were excited, so I shouted because they saw a miracle. I mean, we saw miracles. But I was shouting with all my voice. I can't do it. After the Lord said to me, every time today you go begin to pray for the sick. In the hospital. That's how I started. And I did that for some time. And then I had an opportunity to minister in a meeting. And then that same voice, the Lord said to me, you pray for the sick. Well, that's not a difficult one. So I prayed for the sick. The same voice said to me, ask the people who were healed to come and testify. And right in my heart, I was like, what if nobody comes out to testify? You know, I wasn't a small meeting. It was in a school setting. It was a big meeting of two schools, two secondary schools coming together. It was a vigil. You know, all of them were there. So what if I say, come and testify? Nobody comes out. Small boy like me. So you know what I did? I was a bit hesitant. I said, if you are healed, just raise up your hand. Well, I did it so that if nobody raises their hand, I can as well move on. So raise up your hand. And then I saw many hands. I said, wait, bring it down. I said, if you are sure, you are healed. They raised up their hand. I said, if you want to testify, come out. They ran out. One that stood out that night was a lady that had conjunctivitis. That's Apollo, as you call it. Child Apollo, eyes red, swollen. Said, I had Apollo. It's when I said, are you sure? Her friends were shouting, yes, she had Apollo. That was very dramatic. Now, that flow came because I just responded to an instruction in my heart. Pray for the sick. Ask them to testify. If you know how to respond to God's word, the teaching, the instructions, the leadings, the prophecies, you will become a spiritual giant in spreading the spiritual things. Is that easy? Is that easy? I feel what I'm saying. Is that easy? I was on the stage. They were shouting. Man, I was shouting. I was amazed. I was surprised. Just like that. I get the point. Just like that. And I've seen many great miracles in my life just like that. I'm telling you practically, the days I did not have faith. There's nothing like that. But I'm just saying. This, I didn't even have faith that this could happen. Every believer has faith, but there are days that you don't even feel your faith. Now, I tell you what, because we make faith look like a difficult thing. When you feel you don't have faith for anything, just act on the word. You are acting in faith. You hear what I said? When you feel you don't have faith, I don't have faith for my finances. What did the word of God say? Declare, speak God's word. Any other instruction from God? Yes. If you are doing that, you are walking in faith. Faith is to act in accordance with God's word. So God's word, you just have a little in your hand. God says, you go place your hand on that blind guy. But you don't even have faith. Well, go and place your hand on the blind guy. You are walking in faith. If you can learn to act on the word, you are aiding your spiritual flow. So you see why people stay in church for years. They've never raised any dead person. They've never healed any blind person. They've not even healed a headache. But they sit under the same anointing, the same word, because they don't know how to respond when God's word comes. Amen. You know, when you read, I think Matthew 10, Matthew 9, Luke 10, you read about how Jesus sent the disciples to missions to go pray for the sick. One verse that always catches me when I read that, Bible said he gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power. And you begin to wonder, look at that. When he called them, he gave them power against unclean spirits. So, literally, he gave them. You see that he called them and said, open your hand and blew powder. He said, whoo! You know Nigerian film? So you are now fortified. He gave them power. Is that he did impartation? Did he begin to lay hands on them? Receive! You fall. Is that what he did? He gave them power against the spirit of cast. How did he do that? See the next verse. Now, next of the 12th, next verse. He gave us the name of the most of people. Verse 3. Come on. He gave us their names. Verse 4. Verse 5. He was still listening to them. These 12 sent Jesus forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the Gentiles, go to the, and or to any city of the Samaritans and all that. Enter ye not, continue. Verse 6. But rather go to the lordship of Israel. Verse 7. Please watch this. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper. So how did he give them power? He said something to them. How did he give them power to raise the dead? He told them, raise the dead. Their response to that thing he told them is not to the receiving of that power he has given them. So when I'm preaching and I say, go and raise the dead, I have given you power to raise the dead. Now when you go raise the dead, you will raise the dead. If you don't go, you will not raise any dead. So when you hear, he gave them power over unclean spirits. He didn't come with something, with powder, or with just, you know, red clothes. See? Power. Because even what we call impartation, it's still the word of God we are giving people. It's prophecy. Right? I put this on you and say, in the name of Jesus, the power to do this upon you. I'm speaking. Now, what you do with the things I'm speaking will not tell me whether you flow in spiritual things. So, how did Jesus give his disciples power? There was one time later in the book of John where the Bible said he breathed upon them for the first time and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. This was way before the Spirit was given to them to indwell them. He gave them power over unclean spirits just by talking to them. heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And verse 9, he said, provided that, just gave them different instructions. And they went. And they came back with one testimony. Even the devils were subject to us in your name. How did he give them power? He said. And so, you want to flow in spiritual things, have the right response to God's word when it comes. Right response to instructions when it comes. Right response to prophetic words when they come. You will be a spiritual giant when it has to flow. Because this is what we call faith. So that's what make faith. I'm coming to immersion. That's what make faith look very difficult. So, 7 steps to faith. Faith number 1. Let me tell you, if you begin to act on the word, you're walking by faith. Walking by faith. Are you following me? Glory to God. You think, for instance, when the Lord led me to come pastor this church and start this work, you think I totally believed in my heart that I could do it? No. But I was walking in faith. How did I do that? I started. That was all that mattered. Are you following me? So you want to see yourself become powerful with spiritual flows. Just respond to the word. How do people even speak in tongues? To speak in tongues is that, you know, we came to you and you read the Bible. Bible said, "These things shall flow that I believe. In my name they shall cast out devils and all that. They shall speak in new tongues." You believe that a believer can speak in tongues. You're already reacting well to God's word. And we now pray and say, give utterance to what is in your heart. For you to begin to speak, because notice the way you are speaking, you are in your full consciousness. For you to begin to speak is because you are not responding well to that word you read in God's word. That's spiritual flow. That's the same way to prophesy. But so as you are coming to prophesy, you are doubting whether what you heard, what you are hearing is correct. What if it's my mind? What if it's this? But then you dare to say it. What are you doing? You are acting on the word of God. So everything around spiritual flow, if you know how to respond well to the word of God, you can become anything. You can become anything. You can raise the dead. You can heal the sick. You can cast out devils. You can do any of those things. But will you respond? I did a full teaching last year on how to cast out devils. Some persons went from that meeting till today. They're still enjoying the results. Some told me, say, I've been able to cast out devils from different people. I have many testimonies. Some people have never even, when they see devil that way, they run that way. They sat in the same meeting. So every series that will come this year, how will you respond to it? That's what will determine whether it will change you or leave you the same. I get what I'm saying? I did a teaching on no room to the flesh. Some have gone from that meeting to tell me, sir, from that meeting, from those series till now, you know, I stopped this habit. I quit. I stopped dressing this way. I left this relationship. I left this my boyfriend who are in an immoral stuff. I left him. I left her. I stopped this. You know, because what they're doing? They are responding to the word. Another person sat in that same meeting and went from that place to the boyfriend's house. I'm enjoying to him. That, powerful service. Thank you for coming. So straight to the boyfriend's house and remove her clothes. The same thing she had in church. Is it that God's word is not powerful enough? It is. One responded well, one not responded well. Shout amen. And that's why in this series, I'm going to show you how to respond when God's word is being taught. How to respond when prophecies are given. How to respond when instructions come to you. How to respond when correction comes to you. I mean, at when it is coming. You know, people don't know there's a way to receive correction and to work for you. There's even a posture. When I'm being corrected, there's a way to act. After the correction, there is a way to act. If not, it's not going to work. Because every correction is trying to adjust you. I get what I'm saying? Now, if you don't know how to receive correction, you will always keep repeating the same mistakes. So there's a way. So it will aid your spiritual flow and all of that. Let me, I'll say this finally before I begin to wind down. It will, you know, responding to God's word can change your situation. God's word can change your situation. Can change your situation and reorder your life. God's word is that powerful. No matter the situation. And I said earlier, it's going to minister strength to you. But now I'm saying, apart from ministering strength to you, it can change that situation. It can get you out of the mess. It can. you've gotten a doctor's report that said whatever is incurable, you know, that your health is incurable. God's word, if you learn how to properly respond to it, it can change your situation. You know, Ketmo used to say, he used to be in charge of Brother Hagin's, you know, healing school at Rema. He said it's the first day, and he said it happens every first day that starting sessions. You come into the room, he said you could almost smell death. You can see fear, because people come to those healing schools people that are sick, incurable. Some the hospital has said, just go home. They just bring all them and dump them in the healing school. He said, first day, he would just come in, everyone would be so tense. He said, you could almost sense death in the atmosphere. You could sense the fear. He said, what you always do normally is to first crack a joke. You just tell them, I know you guys are afraid of dying. The thing is that you are going to die. All of them just their face just drop. He said, but not yet. And he just said something live. He said, sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just all they do every day is to come. They will hear God's word, go home. He will come, teach them, go home. He said, by the third week, sometimes you begin to see hope come to them. Hope. Sometimes by the third week or so, before even Brother Hagin comes to pray, some have gone home, they're healed. Trust that God's word. They keep hearing. Everyone they carry to that place gets healed. But you see what I'm talking about, response. Some will get healed by the next day. Some will get healed by the second week. Some will get healed in the third month. Some have to repeat the session. It's still okay. What is the difference? Some, their hearts are quicker to respond to God's word. Some, taking time. It's the same word they're hearing. But response will make all the difference. Whatever you encounter this year, the answer to the problem is already waiting. The answer is God's word. I said, whatever. Whatever. I said, whatever. That's why I tell people, the solution to your problem is older than your problem. God's word has been there before the problem even came. I wish you would know how to handle the word of God this year. You will come out of anything. You will come out of any pain. You will come out of any situation. Out of anything. But it's about right response. Jesus was sailing with the disciples. And then, right there, as they were sailing, the storm was raging. What did Jesus do? First of all, the Bible said he was sleeping. That sleep also is one way he was responding to the word of God that he knew. Do you understand? Yeah. God gives you peace in the storm. He will not let you dash your foot against a stone. All of that, he made him sleep. There are times that the response you need to give to God's word in your situation is to lie down, cover your blanket, and just doze off. Sometimes that's the right response. Says, is it easy? That's what I'm talking about, knowing how to respond to God's word. It starts by you. You have to be deliberate about it. He was lying down on a pillow. And, you know, I wonder, was he really sleeping? You know what it means that there was a storm? It means the ship was going, or the boat was going this way and that way. So could he possibly be sleeping? Right? It just tells you, he may not really be sleeping as but deep sleep. But that posture was to show, I'm not worried about anything. Bible says he was sleeping on a pillow. He was deliberate. So when they got him up, he was already in the right frame of mind to fix the situation. He just said, peace, be still. Simple. The waves calm down. The word of God. Did all the disciples have the power to do that? Yes. Did they all have the word of God? What is hard to say? Peace be still. Is it hard? Did they get it done? No. God's word will only work when you respond well to it. Mark 11 verse 23 tells us, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, I shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatever you say. Verse 24. He said, you know, when I said to you, what things that you desire when you pray, believe. So when there's a situation, just open your mouth and speak the word of God. It will change. As simple as I'm saying it now. Someone is going to begin to respond well to it. Some have been doing that. You heard that testimony about, you know, the lady, the small baby that was not walking. Did you watch the process of that testimony? Did you take note of it? I was preaching in church. The same word that people have been hearing. What did I say? Stop speaking negative. Stop using your words. Use your words to say what you want to see in your life. That was it. And you thinking about it now, that was a digression. Because by the time this happened, I've not started the Ruda series. Ruda series came after. That was somewhere in the midst of 30 days of light. And I don't think I said so much about confession in that meeting. But I know I hinted here and there. And they took it seriously. So every time they look at that child, they say, oh, this baby is walking. They told me sometimes when their friends will come and say, Bridget is not yet walking. They'll tell them, shh, she's walking. They say, oh, God's word has that power to change you. It was a simple instruction. To the point that their parents will call and say, how is she doing? Is she not walking? They will say, yes. They will say, thank God, though she's. They say, yes, thank God. Simple instruction. God's word has the power. It's about response. Are you following me? There are many people that had tough times in that same service. Who heard the same things I heard? Who, as I'm talking to you, they are still with their problem. As we are preaching now. The same instruction had the power to change their lives, but they didn't respond to it. What I'm going to ask you as we close today is, what are you going to do with God's word this year? How will you respond to God's word this year? So they kept saying that, and notice they didn't even discuss that with me. In fact, they didn't even tell me, because I've asked them earlier, is this baby working? That was a few months ago. They said no, long time ago. I said, well, take this baby to the hospital. Get a doctor's report. Do what they went to the run. The doctor said she's fine. I said, did they give you any medication? Doctor said, they said no. Doctor said there is nothing medically wrong. I said, okay, fine. So I forgot about that totally. But someone was acting on the word of God. I don't have, you guys are many, and we yet become bigger. I get what I'm saying. I don't need to have the details of a problem in my head. I don't actually. That's what you don't realize. So that you call me and say, hey, daddy, that thing has now worked. So as I'm looking at you like, which thing? Now you think I remember all those things? I actually don't. If I carry your problem in my head, I would have died. I have an idea of it, but I don't have all the details. That's why sometimes, have you ever come to my office and I'm asking you to go over what you told me before? Have you ever done it? I say, go over. I know that issue, but I don't keep all those details in my head. Because if I do, you have to minister to me one of these days. I don't keep all those in my head. So, I'm forgetting about that. But I don't need to remember all the details of your case. We just need to speak the word of God. And we don't need to, thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't need to come to you directly to give you a personal word. What I'm saying on the stage is God's personal word to you. But I didn't meet that couple to say to them, from now, don't ever say, I was just preaching generally. And the husband went and told the wife, we'll take this thing, Pastor said, seriously. From now, we keep saying this baby is working. And then the mother demonstrated that faith. That faith found in Sarah. That faith found in Hannah. That faith found in Deborah. She said, as I'm going to church on this children anniversary. That's why our services are not normal. He said it was children anniversary. There's no way my child cannot participate in this. So when pastor will lay hands on this child on this anniversary day, this child will walk. This child will walk. And to tell you, I didn't lay hands on any child that day speaking healing. Did you take note? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. I know the power of impartation. I learned it from my pastor. Anytime these kids run to greet me after service, I always say, how are you? Fine. You are blessed. Every time. Because for every time I tell you, you are blessed. You are blessed. Something extra adds to your life. Every time I carry a child in this church, you will always say me, what are those words? You're blessed. You're blessed. I tell you what, you are blessed. Now, it's not what you will do with it. So that same thing was all happening on the first day. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. And they went to next morning. Now, they didn't discuss it with me. Next morning, child woke up. But by the time they could wake up, she was running up and down the house. You can imagine waking up saying, "Where is my baby?" Because by the time we slept that night, she wasn't walking. Waking up, she might be in the parlor. And she didn't get up. Thank you, Holy. She didn't take all this one step and began. Did you observe? She began to walk normally. Just started walking. Like she has been walking all the while. That's the power of God. But it's not just in the anointing of Pastor Henry. Mm-mm. It's in the obedience to God's word. That's what it is. Now, I tell you, my anointing played just a very little part in that particular testimony, I can tell you. I'm sincere to myself. Because I wasn't even aware. It is about their response to God's word. It is about their faith in the calling. They believe that if pastor will lay hands, it will work. We'll get that in this series too. Because one of the ways to respond to God's word very well is to put your faith in the anointed. It's one of the ways. Because God's word does not come in a vacuum. So just said, and it's a good thing we are preaching with this particular thing because it's a practical testimony we all witnessed. But the thing about it is there are many people here who had financial challenges who were in that same service, who heard those things. I wish you can begin to act on the word from today. I wish you can begin to say things are changing for my good. I wish you can begin to speak the right words. I wish you can begin to take one word and begin to act on it. I wish you can begin to respond well. It can change everything. It can change everything. It can change everything. Whatever situation, whatever condition, it can. And don't think of how, just know that it can. It can. Can turn you from a tenant to a landlord. Can turn you from nothing to something. It can turn you from an average student to an excellent student. It is still the word of God. So how can that happen? When I read, I don't understand. Don't you know you can speak God's word so much that when you now read, you now begin to understand. It is the power of the word of God. It is that potent. As I close tonight, I want to say to you, one of the major things I want you to do as you leave this place is to begin to train your heart to be receptive to God's word. That's one of the first things I just want to say before we close. Be receptive. Be receptive. You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Acts 17, I'll take that as my last scripture in my notes. If I close. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Berean Christians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. This verse, I'm going to come to it much later, because it shows what they did when the word came, what they did after the word came. They received the readiness of mind. What next? And signed the scripture daily. So that's something they did in church when they were teaching. That's something they did at home when they went home. We're going to look at that in this series. What to do when prophetic words are coming. What to do when you get home. What to do when teaching is coming. What to do when you get home. What to do when you are being instructed. What to do when you get home. Both of them work hand in hand. Because many people, the only response they know to the word in church is, yes, yes, just stand, whoo, glory. That's the only thing they know. There's nothing to do when you get home. But it starts from there. They receive this with readiness of mind. That's the first thing I like to trust God to form in you. A ready mind. A willing mind. A mind that is ready, malleable, flexible to God's word. Him Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. See, these Jews, you are better disposed. You know, there is a disposition you should have towards God's word. There's a disposition you must have towards God's word. Than those they were also more noble. So their nobility was in how they responded to God's word. Some people don't know how. Some people are so dead to instructions. Dead to God's word. These ones were more noble. They were entirely ready and accepted the message concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God with inclination of mind and eagerness. There's an eagerness. Why do you think I teach you that when you hear God's word, that some things pastor begins to say, you must jump up. That jumping up, some of us have made it, have become religious about it. We just stand up and stand. But because others are standing, you just stand. That thing it depicts eagerness. I get what I'm saying? There are things you hear. When it hits you, you stand because you are eager. You are eager. Now, it's not ceremony. It's not to stand because if I don't stand, I will say, he's not standing. It depicts a willing heart. And I tell you, when my pastor teaches, if you follow any of my pastor's meeting, once I begin, there are times, things that I'll hear, I'm already standing. There are things I'll hear, I kneel immediately. I don't care. I sit in front seats in those churches, in the church. I don't care. You get the point? Because once they begin to preach, I'm careful about digression. So when it just comes and it's hitting me, like I just kneel. You must have that eagerness. And it's not drama. Your standing or your kneeling or your jumping must be a reflection of the posture of your heart. It's not drama. They were eager. Have that willingness, that eagerness, that be flexible, be malleable to God's word. Be flammable. Right? You know, the way I like explaining it, I've said it before, if you dip cloth or paper inside water and bring it out, and you put on a lighter around it, it will not burn. I get what I'm saying? It will not burn. But then, put that cloth inside fuel. Bring the lighter just close, it will catch fire. Be that kind of person. That your heart is like clothes dipped inside fuel, inside petrol. Such that once God's word is passing, it will catch you. Oh, are you getting what I'm talking about? It will catch you. It's about receptivity. Prophecy is passing. You are eager to catch it. Instructions are coming. You are eager. Correction is coming. You are eager to take it. Correction is coming. You're already doing this particular thing, and you just heard the correction. You just stand up immediately. Say, as I'm leaving here, it's ending. It's coming to an end. Receptivity. You know, one of those, talking about correction, one of my sons, you know, were having a meeting, and they came around. And before then, what looked like an opportunity had opened up to sell a particular product. Now, that it wasn't an illegal stuff, but it was something he didn't believe in its usage. But then they were giving him at a ridiculously cheap price. In fact, they were giving him the product for free. With a new product coming to the market, but they gave him for free, he should just sell and take the profit, take everything. But they didn't just be selling it. That when the product becomes very popular, they can now start. You know, that kind of thing. Collect. So it was almost a miracle. And for the meeting, he has been selling it. He said, but he has been fighting with his heart. And then I was closing the meeting. One of those meetings on Sunday, I was just giving instruction. And I came right for the way of it. I never knew about this. I talked about it. Some of you are doing things, selling things that you don't believe in. And God has been prompting your heart. You act on it. When I finished, he came to meet me. He said, that word was for me. I said, what are you going to do? I said, today, as I'm going back, no more. I will not sell one more. Of course, he struggled financially after he said that. And then everything turned around eventually. Now, it's about having a receptive heart to God's word. Be that heart that God's word can bend. I get the point. Be that heart. Let me put it this way. Be that heart. Okay, look at it. Let God's word be able to evoke emotions in your heart. You don't have to be an emotional person. If there's a word of God that is coming that is meant to bring us joy and shouting, let your heart be able to rejoice and shout. If God's word that is coming is supposed to make us sober, let your heart be ready to become sober. We might be having a solemn meeting here. The power of God is moving. I'm teaching some people that everybody just sober, kneeling down. Just very calm. That's the time somebody is going to be chewing gum and pressing phone. That's what a receptive heart to God's word. Whatever happened in that atmosphere in that moment, he has lost it. I get to the point. But everybody just kneeling. That's soberness. Maybe we're teaching on something. We're teaching on the fact that God wants to change the world. There are souls dying. All of us are kneeling down and praying. Father, use me to change my world. That's by the time somebody just pressing phone, chatting on WhatsApp. Say, I got a day church. God should be able to make you emotional. I know what I'm saying. If the emotion is to cry or to shout or to rejoice, God should have that power. And where I am now, there are not many things that can make me cry. I don't think there's anything apart from the word of God. It can. God always knows he has my emotions. I am telling you. He knows. So if so that the day you hear, I tell you are righteous in Christ, let that word be enough to make you jump up and scream, even if you hear it 100 times. You are teaching your heart to be responsive to God's word. I get to the point. That's why, is it okay for a pastor to preach and you shout? Yes, it's okay. Now, empty shouts and shouting in the flesh is another different matter. I don't know who you are trying to impress. Do you understand? But there's nothing wrong with when God's word is coming and he hits you and you understand it. Say yes. That's why it's not, I'm not talking about where you shout, stand up and say, tell them. Tell them is not how to respond to God's word. It's the wrong way. Don't say tell them. Who is them? I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. Don't say tell them. You don't know what to say. Stand up and say, talk to me, sir. It's you that need it. It's not them. Actually, there are some messages that when it's being preached, you always wish somebody else is there. Yes, it happens to all of us, right? They can be just turn around. This guy did not come today that they're preaching what I understand about. That's you looking out for others. But do not be too carried away with who did not come. That you forget that word is actually for you. So these guys were ready. Give me like NLT. They were eager. They were ready. See, the people of Berea, we are more open-minded than those that are like, how did they know they were open-minded? They listened eagerly. So eagerly, it listened eagerly. It means there was something people saw. They were not as well to listen eagerly. That's a way to listen lackadaisically. You know, when you are talking to somebody, the person is listening to you, you know, right? No, be that person that when the God's word is coming, you are almost at the tip of your seat. Like, you want to take, I know what I'm talking about. You want to eat it. There was eagerness in how they listened. So there is a way to listen. And it will depict eagerness. Because it's not the Lord that told them, these people are eager. They saw it in how they were acting when the word was being taught. So see, you are teaching the word. That's why there's even a sitting posture when you're hearing God's word. There's a sitting posture that depicts that you are eager. But preaching about nations perishing, that's what you do. You two are perishing. That's an eagerness. That's an attitude. So they were listening with eagerness. Give me another translation. Message. I've not checked it with message. He said, yeah, the Jews received Paul's message with enthusiasm. So that's a way to be enthusiastic about God's word. So don't be too cold and say, well, I know it's entering me. Mm-mm. Their enthusiasm could be seen that Luke could record it. I get what I'm saying. Their enthusiasm towards the word could be seen that Luke could write it. Their eagerness could be seen that it could be written. Some of you that preach here, if you ever preach to an audience, sometimes when you are preaching, there are people you like standing in their face because you like looking at because they encourage you. Do you have such things? Now you can, you know, when you are preaching, you can tell who is enthusiastic or not. Let me give you another example. In Acts 14, verse 8, Bible said, verse 7, Bible said, dear Paul preached the gospel. In verse 8, the Bible tells us there was a man who was crippled. He was impotent. His feet being crippled from his mother's womb, and who had never walked. Verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith. So there was a way this guy was listening that Paul could see, this guy has faith. So faith can be seen. When I'm teaching and you believe what I'm saying, it can be felt. Not in the spirit, by the spirit. Practically. So there's a way to respond to God's word. There's a way to listen. There's a way to listen. Give me another translation of this. The same head Paul speak. And listening as Paul preached, looking straight at him, Paul realized the man had faith to be healed. Give me another classic. He realized. He saw it. He was listening to Paul as he talked. And Paul gazing intently at him. Look at that. And observing that he had faith. See, it wasn't like a spiritual event. Paul observed it. He saw how the guy was listening to him. He said, this guy is ready for healing. Just by how he listened. So there is even how to listen. I get the point. That is how to listen. Paul said, this one, you are ready for your healing. There are people that listen so carelessly. And I said that was my last scripture. Right? But I made it very clear. It's my last scripture in my notes. Did you hear that? So that's another scripture. The Bible said, be careful how you hear. How you hear. That's Luke 8 verse 18. Take heed how you hear. I thought about this scripture for a very long time, some years ago. Take heed how you hear. It's not just take heed what you hear, but how. So that is how to hear. You can listen wrongly. You get the point? Amplified Classic said, be careful how, take heed how you listen. Be careful therefore how you listen. So that is a way to listen. You don't just listen carelessly. NLT said, pay attention to how you hear. Pay attention to how you hear. I get to the point. Be careful how you are hearing. So that you don't listen as though, you know, you are just listening to another lecture in your class. How you pay attention to lectures in class is not just the same way you pay attention to God's word. I get to the point. But funny thing is, there are people that even pay attention to lecture more than they pay attention to God's word. And then they wonder why it's not working. The Passion Translation said, pay careful attention to your hearts as you listen to my teaching. So, as I'm teaching, pay attention to how you are paying attention. Do you understand? Pay attention to, I always ask you, am I paying the right, am I giving the right attitude, the right response, the right reaction to this message? Temperamentally, I'm not someone that things can easily move. Temperamentally. That's why I don't believe in all this temperament. I'm not someone that comedy can make me laugh. I don't laugh at comedy. Some of you do. And it's difficult. You ask it now and I laugh. All this, those days, in my house, it's a very funny house. Oh my God, we bought Night of a Thousand Laughs. You know those CDs. How many of you know Night of a Thousand Laughs? You don't know it, sorry. So we'll buy it and play it at all of us stand in the parlor and play it from beginning to end and remove it and say, nobody will laugh. Nobody will giggle. I don't understand. And they'll be dying of laughter. The only thing I can do is, wow, that's creative. That's intelligent. And that's me, natural. Things don't easily move me. But that is who you are in the natural. Don't carry that in. Into your walk with God. God's word will be able to move you. God's word moves me. Don't you read the Bible sometimes and close it and start laughing? If God's word does not have that kind of effect on you, then you need this teaching. I mean, read and just. I can tell you, start laughing. People are passing and say, what's wrong with this one? I mean, if you're having a bad day, God's word should be able to brighten your mood. Does he have ever had the experience? Like, you're having a very terrible day. I just read one verse and, whoa! Glory to God! Things are going to work out. God also should have that effect. If it doesn't have that effect, then you need this teaching. And one of the things you begin to learn, let it start from church here. Start being deliberate about it. When there's something that people are rejoicing, you too stand up and rejoice. What you are doing is that you are lecturing your heart. I told you the greatest form of mind renewal is action. Because whatever you do today, you remember tomorrow. Because your action today forms your memory tomorrow. So when others are shouting, shout. When you hear you are righteous, shout. You say, I don't believe. Shout. Yeah. Be responsive. So pay attention to how you hear. So while in church today, while in church on Sunday, throughout this year and beyond, pay attention to how you are paying attention. Pay attention to how you sit when the word is coming. Pay attention to the way you look at the preacher when the word is coming. I'm being that practical, right? Pay attention to the posture when the word is coming. Don't be the person that your face will scare the pastor away. That's another talk. I'm coming to that later, not today. There are people that if you are preaching and you crack a joke and stand in front of them, your joke will finish. Be responsive to God's word. Some of you think I'm very mean. If you see me laugh when my pastor is preaching, I laugh and I look at my wife and I just tell her, just laugh. Pastor is preaching. If really he gets serious, we all get serious too. Say amen. When prophetic word comes, you kneel. When he healed you too much, you lie down. And I can tell you, you can have an attitude that will attract a man of God to always lay hands on you. When I'm going to program, I used to decide that pastor will lay hands on me at least 5 to 10 times in this meeting. And I don't have to tell him. It's just my, there's a way. Ah, God, glory, glory, glory. He will just come. Yes. Yourself, you are you going to say, you know? I'm going to respond to God's word. And, you know, people say, I'm not that dramatic. I am not actually dramatic. It is the posture of my heart. A woman said, if I may touch, that is, Bartimaeus' head about Jesus. What did he hear? That there's a man called Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing here. He began to shout. There are many other blind people that heard what Bartimaeus heard. They never got healed. So what are you going to do with what you are hearing? What you just said today can change the entire year. What will you do with it? What you just said today, you see, Sunday, message on Sunday can change the entire decade. What will you do with it? I can tell you, one word of God that you act on can turn your life around. One word of God that you act on, one that you act on, can change your life. Change your life. Look, that's why people fight things. You know, I've listened to the likes of Shubeko said, what changed, and we've practiced that. We're practicing that now. What changed their finance, for instance, in their ministry as Winners Chapel was that the Lord told him they should begin to give a percentage of their money to the father, the fathers in their life, the spiritual father. So Winners Chapel tithes. I mean, not Bishop Edipo now. Winners Chapel gives seed as a church to ministries. He said, yes, Lord. He began to obey that. Look at where they are today. One of the richest ministries in the world is Kenneth Copeland Ministry. Because many years ago, the Lord told him, begin to give a percentage of your money to Rehard Bonnke's ministry. These are normal instructions that anybody can get. One person just acts on it, he changes his life financially. You are there complaining. People are obeying God's word. One word from God that you obey, that you respond well to, can change your entire life. So last thing I told you, every day wake up and ask yourself, what word am I acting on today? What word am I acting on today? What word am I acting on today? Crossover service, you heard a lot. What will you do with those things? What will you do with all those instructions? What are you going to do with them? Service can come, service can go. Each of those services have the power to transform your life. If only you can learn how to respond. How to respond in church, how to respond after the service. And this service is going to bless us. We'll go again on Sunday. We pause it after Sunday. Hold the immersion from next week, Thursday, to Sunday. Then we'll come back to it. Is that okay? Come back to it. We're going to have 6 to 7 sessions like this. Teaching you and training your heart on how to respond actively to the word of God. I will not remain the same. Are you blessed today? Stand to your feet.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.